Welcome, everybody, to another episode of On the Couch. This show is for anybody looking for financial planning. Anybody in the mortgage space, realtors, financial planners. And I am one of your hosts, Johnny Supa. I'm here with
Danny Cardozo.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
Welcome.
All right, boys. So, you know, before this podcast started, we always go through our notes and think about what we're going to talk about today. And you said that there's something very important that needs to be addressed. And what is that, Johnny?
Johnny's hair.
I'm having a good hair day. You know, why are you guys laughing? Fuck. You know,
Johnny asked me to pull up next to him and use my jacket as a umbrella for him today.
No way.
He did not want to ruin it.
No way.
You think I'm lying? Okay, this morning, my wife held the umbrella while I walked the garbage out of the garage. But she did it as a joke because my son was being a pain in the butt today and he didn't want to bring his umbrella. I'm like, you're going to get soaked outside. Go and walk into the bus. And she held the umbrella because I was having a very good hair day. And I'm still having a very good hair day.
You still are.
Absolutely. Yes. It's still on point. But we do have to jump on what we need to talk about.
Yeah. So today's episode is going to be directed to agents, new agents. This conversation is for you guys today. I think the reason it is about new agents is for two reasons. One, the FSRA renewal just passed. Mm-hmm. So that has been up in the air. So obviously your fees have come up and obviously...
Let's slow it down. What does that mean?
So every year you're required to, if you're an agent, you're required to do a few things to continue your licensing. One is continued education, whether that be if you're a level one or level two agent, but as a level one agent, you have
to be a broker.
Or a broker. Yeah. There was a lot. I had to go through courses like quite a bit. But it's fun. It's good for you. So, but if you're an agent and you're doing your, you got to do continued education. You have to do your private course if you are a level two agent, which requires you to, or allows you to sell private mortgages. And then FSRA every year has your annual renewal fees. It used to be every 2 years. Now it's every year. It's $890, $883 or $890, call it. And it's been coming up, and now we're getting a lot of phone calls from agents that are at other brokerages, and they're starting to listen to our podcast. They're starting to ask if they can join our brokerage. I'm getting a lot of emails and DMs and messages about, hey, how can I join your team? I'm hearing success from a lot of the other agents.
The 770 program.
The 770 program.
Our blueprint.
Our journey and blueprint to success. How do I join your team? I mean, I want to answer those questions, hopefully on some discovery calls with the agents, but I want to answer most of those questions here today on our podcast and talk about, you know, what are we looking for and what should you be looking for? And I think that is the biggest missed thing is, like Danny brought this up to me a couple interviews ago. We interviewed an agent and we're like, hey, so do you have any questions for us? And he was like, no. I'm like, well, how do you not have questions for us? So Danny and I thought maybe we should just either go out on Instagram or we'll just do it on our podcast. And here are four or five questions you should be asking your brokerage.
100%.
Like, first and foremost, you got to figure out what part of your business are you missing? Is it the marketing side of the business or is it the actual mortgage side of the business? Are you losing deals? Are deals not closing?
Is that your first step? Is that the very first question?
I mean, you got to ask yourself this question. This business is not for everyone. This is a all day, every day. I must be in the grind. I got to wake up. I got to pound out what I got to do. I got to be selfish to myself, obviously. And I have to do X, Y, and Z every single day. If you think you're just going to sit at home and twiddle your thumbs and your phone's going to ring, man, oh man, are you up for a rude awakening?
And I feel like a lot of mortgage agents that come into this business, that's what they're hoping will happen. I got my license. I got my family, I got my friends. They all need mortgages, so this should be very easy for me.
Yeah.
And guess what? You go 1 year, 2 year, and all of a sudden your phone hasn't rang in 2 years.
Yes. So let's stop right there. So for those people that are hoping for those connections and they do not come, what mindset do you need to put these people in?
Silvio never came back to buy the chocolate.
Well, I don't understand what that means.
All right. So it's a saying that it happened to me at a young age. Many, many, many years ago, you know, when you got your chocolate from school and you would go to your neighbors and you would sell the chocolate. So I went to one neighbor's house and I'm like, hey, Silvio, do you want to buy some chocolate? He's like, yeah, absolutely. I only got $4 on me right now. So give me one chocolate, but don't sell any other ones. I'm going to come back at 8 o'clock and I'm going to buy the rest of the chocolates. Well, Silvio never came back and I went to school and I didn't sell anything but that one damn chocolate that I sold to Silvio. So, and what I mean by that is I learned a lesson that you can't really rely on friends and family to give you the business. Those that say, hey, give me a good deal, I'm going to send you a referral. I mean, yes, you have to give a good deal and make sure that everybody feels that they're winning on both sides, but you can't rely on that. And I think that's what a lot of people rely on when they're in this business. They think that they're, you know, hey, write, make a list of all the people you're going to invite to your wedding, and that's where your business is going to come from. It doesn't work that way. It you may get some from it, but you got to go build your network.
And so for the people who look at, all right, I got an opportunity to be a mortgage broker or have an opportunity to be a real estate agent. What about those people that come in very conflicted and they're almost asking you for a little bit of guidance? How do you steer them on the path of what they should potentially lean towards?
That is preference. Like, not everybody can be a realtor and sell homes. And not everybody could be a mortgage agent. And personally, I don't think you should be doing both either.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people that, you know, their mindset's like, oh, I want to keep everything in-house. I'm going to be a realtor and I'm going to be a mortgage agent.
Do both?
Do both.
There are people who do both?
There are people in our brokerage that do both.
How can they do that? How can they juggle both when each one is a full-time job?
Well,
that's the million-dollar question?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't even want to know, to be honest. I am focused on being a mortgage agent, being a mortgage broker, focused on here. I don't want to be out showing homes and, you know, losing more time outside of this business to work two different businesses.
What about you, Johnny? You for all the people coming in and saying, well, you guys kind of have it established. Would you tell them the story about how you were a sales rep at one point?
Yeah, I'm still a sales rep. I mean, that's who I am at heart. And I do that every single day. I treat my business as I'm a salesperson. I on a regular basis go back to the basics and do the basic things because that's what's required even as a CEO, or it's just instilled in me. But to be either or, like a realtor or a mortgage agent, geez, I mean, it's preference. It's what do you want to do? They're both great careers. I think even selling funeral plots is a great career. I mean, you can excel and do anything and be really good at it. It's just preference, really. But for those that are out there, I mean, I want to get back to the agents that are out there that are looking and what requirements, like what questions should you be asking? So Danny, what are questions they should ask us?
So I mean, if you're a new agent looking for your first brokerage,
yes,
a lot of new agents looking for their first brokerage, I'm going to say 95% of their biggest mistake is they go after the brokerage that says, I will give you a 90-10 split, 85-15,
yeah,
80-20 split.
Yep.
And then 6, 7, 8
months,
whatever it is, the timeline goes and you've now wasted your time because they haven't helped you with your business. You haven't closed one mortgage. You don't even know how to do a mortgage. You don't even know how to spell the word mortgage. And now you're sitting here looking for a different brokerage.
Correct.
So I think that is the biggest mistake. Don't get fooled by the commission structure.
Yep. Because 90% of nothing is still nothing. And it doesn't do you any good. Just because you want to go home and rate that, hey, mommy, look, I got 90-10 split, doesn't mean anything. Find out what support you need. What are your PowerPoints and what are you missing and how do you bring those two together? I think is very important. But what about an experienced agent who's at another brokerage, mm-hmm, and they come and visit us and they have zero questions in an interview?
We want to get out of you what you're actually missing in your business. Is it the fact that you haven't closed a mortgage yet? And why haven't you closed that mortgage? So in this case, how are you or us as a brokerage going to help you find leads or teach you how to go out there and find leads?
Yep.
I think that's the probably the most important part. Do you need help in sales? in marketing, or do you need help in working the background and the mortgage aspect?
Yeah. Like, where's your bottleneck? Where are you stuck? Which is our biggest, I mean, that's our campaign. Like, if you're stuck and you're not, okay, let me answer this question. Let me say this first. I think your Nesta Financial is very versatile because we've set up our business in two different aspects. We've set up our business so you can win on working on the business, and you can definitely win working in the business because we've taken that, not that we've taken it away from you. Like, we have not done that. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, you have underwriters and you have fulfillment specialists. Yes, because we know that is the most daunting task in this business. And it takes so much time when you wake up, get to the office, open up your file, you dive yourself deep into that file. Next thing you know, you send out an email and you're waiting hours for the response from the underwriter. And then it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then you've done nothing with your day. So first and foremost, like, what does the support look like for you at that brokerage? How often can you reach the support that you need? And what's the organization doing for you in a whole? If you're sitting there and you're spending hours trying to find an answer for a file, you're at the wrong place. If you're at an 80-20 split and you've done one deal in the last 90 days, you need to find a new brokerage. If you're not on the next week's payroll at your brokerage, you need to figure out why you're not on that payroll, why you're not getting paid your commission in the next cycle, and figure out, is this the right place for me? Is the problem the brokerage, or is the problem you, right? So these are things that you need to understand. Like, why am I stuck in my business? Why am I not growing? Am I digging in? Am I spending too much time in the minutia in paperwork when I can delegate that stuff and do what I do best and let the best handle the rest? I know that sounds catchy,
Handle the rest. I like that.
But that is ultimately what you want. Like, you want to find a support team that's there for you to say, hey, listen, I've got this file. I built the deal. I've collected all the documents. I need to turn this deal now over to the finance department. It's no different than if you're selling cars. Imagine if you walked into a car dealership, you met the car salesman, and then he then sits you in the next office and does your financing for you. And then when you need your tires changed, it's the same fucking guy. You can't have that. You can't succeed. Let the sales guy do the sales. Let the finance guy do the paperwork, and let the mechanic be the mechanic.
So let me ask you something. If I was a new agent coming through your door and I had a few questions and I would ask them right now, would you be able to answer them?
100%.
Yeah.
All right, Danny. The number one question.
We are fully transparent.
Perfect. So transparent this.
Perfect.
Let's How go. Can I effectively build and maintain relationships with clients? That's a very difficult thing to do. So no, what would you say?
No, it's not.
Oh,
no, it's not.
For some it is.
Yes, but not until you come and sit with us, it ain't.
So I ask again, Danny. How can I effectively build and maintain relationships with clients?
Well, I mean, when you come join our brokerage, we automatically go find who are the people that you've already talked to in the past, done some sort of, Johnny, what's the word I'm looking for?
How to segregate your database.
Okay. This way that we have things like our newsletter that go out every month that allow these touch points with all these possible clients of yours that let them know that you're in the business right off the bat.
Yeah. So to continue on that question, I think the biggest thing that people miss is how to segregate a database. Who's your prospects? Who are your clients? And who are your referral sources? That's number one. Prospects are everybody that you know. Clients is anybody you've ever exchanged a dollar with. If you're coming into this business and you're saying, well, I don't have any clients. Yeah, you do. That guy who cuts your hair or the girl who cuts your hair, that's a client. You've exchanged dollars. They know you. They like you. They trust you. That is potential business for the future. Referral sources, same thing. Where's the business going to come from? And then once you understand how to segregate your database, now you have to understand how to nurture and how to trigger. And touch points happen through nurturing. Trigger and clients happen through triggers. Happy birthdays, happy anniversaries. Hey, how's it going?
That's our CRM part.
But it starts from the beginning. Like when you come and sit with us or you sit with me and I teach you the psychology of selling, and yes, but more importantly is how to build relationships with these people. And if you don't know how to do that, man, you got to get out of this business because that's ultimately what you're doing. You're building relationships. You're growing your network.
And I think the most important thing is that there's a lot of mortgage brokers that they'll promise something or, a company like yours that they'll never deliver for these new agents. Danny, let's go back to you. What tools and resources are available to help me streamline my workflow and improve efficiency here at your Nesta?
So we are a Dominion Lending franchise. We have a, I'm going to say a dashboard, which we consider our intranet where all our software sort of communicate from, whether it's our submission platform, our CRM system, our, we call it our autopilot, but it is your thing that shoots out emails. What do we call it? What's the main one out there?
Like a MailChimp. It's like our
MailChimp. We have a MailChimp. Again, we have a full marketing group of people that put together all your marketing here, which is huge because saves lots of dollars in your pocket.
Hold on. Sorry. But the biggest thing is, and I've said this before, a lot of people ask me to answer that question. You have all these tools and technologies. You can have every fucking one of them. You can have the best of the best. The best ones are the ones that you use. It doesn't matter if it's the best CRM or the simple CRM. You have to have it in your schedule and you have to work the technology. If you don't work the technology, it's not going to work for you. So the answer is it's the ones that you use, and that's what makes you efficient and better.
And that's what we are very strong on.
Yes. We make sure.
Yeah, we make sure that you're using these technologies.
Like Wednesday is database mining. Like if you're not taking the prospects that you just talked to over the last 7 days and putting them in the system so they can receive your rate sheets and newsletters and nurture campaigns, buddy, I don't know why you're in this business. Like you have to utilize the technologies.
And then the other one for you, Johnny, is what are some common challenges faced by mortgage agents? And how can I effectively overcome them?
Yeah, so the biggest challenge is momentum. I think a lot of agents, they feel successful when they get that one deal done or they get that one application, but they forget that prospecting is the biggest part of the business. So the biggest challenge is block scheduling your time. Mm-hmm. Understanding that you have to put aside that prospecting hour every single day, because if today, if you know your metrics, okay, leads turn to applications turn into commitments turn into closed deals. If you know that you need 13 leads to get 7 applications, to get 4 commitments, to get 2 closed deals, if you don't know those metrics, that is your biggest problem. And what time of the day and how much time are you spending on that actual task? Most agents wake up, have a file, go sit down at their office, open the file, start digging through the minutia, they hit a roadblock. They get the email back from the underwriter. There's some hairy shit on the file. They start dealing with that for 2 hours. It drains all their energy. And next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock and they do the same thing again tomorrow. And then 5 days pass, that deal falls apart. They've lost momentum and now they're at ground zero again. They have no traction. They have zero ball speed. They have zero snowball. They have nothing happening. They don't have their phone ringing, returning phone calls. That's the biggest problem.
How do I navigate the various types of mortgage products, which you've now displayed that there's many, and determine the best fit for my client?
I'm going to say it again. We work with 200 different lenders. We have 3 million different products from all these lenders.
Yeah.
So the question is how are you going to know which product to put which one of your clients in?
And how do they know?
We have systems in play. We have software that's going to help you navigate all this. But yes, you're going to have to be some sort of talented, quick thinker and understand, you know, a discovery call with your client to figure out what the best product might be. But then when you come up to me and Johnny and you touch the desk, guys, we're the end call here.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out for you.
I think being a critical thinker in this business is crucial. And there's a lot of training you could do to become a critical thinker or a quick problem solver. But if that is not you, our system and process and policy that we have in place at our brokerage allows you to be that person. We teach you how to turn over. And that is a terminology we do inside our office. But a turnover and touching desk is something that is unique to your Nesta Financial. I've adopted that from my previous careers because you can't be good at everything. So let the people that are good at what they do and turn the file over to that person so they can find you the best solution quickly.
And then there is also, we sit down, all of us here, management, and go over your file.
Every Wednesday.
Yep.
Every Wednesday is deal review. And we'll sit there and we'll go over the next 90 days.
Deal review?
Yeah. So me, Danny, Vishal, and Nick, we sit in the boardroom every Wednesday and we look at zero, which is now, and we look at 90 days in front of us because that's our business. And we look at and we touch every single file. Okay, where are we at? What's happening with this? What's missing? What's the underwriter saying? So we strategize together every single Wednesday to make sure that we're on top of every file. So if that's not happening at your brokerage, guys, reach out to us.
So man. Yes, again, we do work with 200 different lenders, 300, although
300,
a lot less than that, truly. Yeah. But
we have access to.
But we will find the proper product because we, us here, are always talking about these products. We're letting you find the business and clients. Let us worry about the products.
So that's one type of product. Mm-hmm. But there is another type of product that we consider ourselves specialists in.
I mean, we're getting better at it.
So what is that exactly? That is
usually a bottle of tequila.
One we have tequila, two tequila.
There is a new tequila for today. And John, I think it's beside you, right? Where is it? Right there?
Where is it?
A white bottle. Yeah. It's, well, it's clear, I guess. This is a very...
You know...
Johnny.
I hope Jose Cuervo's not listening to our podcast.
We can't bash
actually,
them
actually, I'm not going to bash him on this bottle.
Okay, so who knows more of this bottle? I guess we'll start right there.
Let's pass the bottle over to Danny. Entertained this bottle.
So times. Let's pass this bottle over to Danny.
So,
Danny, will start with this.
Sure.
Do I have to?
This
have
is to Danny? A bottle.
Danny, catch. Oh, one-hander too.
That was a goalie growing up. By the way, that was my glove hand.
All right, hit me with it.
So I got a bottle of Jose Cuervo. This is your traditional bottle, Blanco, I guess. I don't know much about it. So
it's a guave, though.
Aren't they all a guave?
I have no idea. I'm still learning.
Have we not done a bottle that is not 100% a guave?
Someone's got to. You know what? We got to get a tequila specialist on this show. I have one in my database. I will reach out to this person and see if we can get them on the next couple episodes. And if you're listening to this podcast and you are a tequila expert, we are not saying we're tequila experts. We just like drinking the damn alcohol.
And we don't mind having them on the podcast.
No, but if you're out there and you want to share some insights and maybe give us some educational tips, guys, leave a comment and let us know.
But you know what we should have in here too? A barista, a mixer. Someone that actually does magic with tequila. And maybe they can shed a little insight as to what they would prefer to mix on the rocks, neat, this and that.
Yeah, actually.
Great idea.
So, Danny,
talk to me. So, you'll find this bottle at the LCBO for $42. It is a 100% blue agave, I guess, as they all are, silver tequila.
This is a mixer for you.
My experience with these bottles is this is a great mixer bottle. And a lot of my friends will have this bottle at their house as a mixer.
Mixed with what? Orange juice?
Soda. I like ginger ale.
It's mixed also with orange juice, isn't it?
You can do it with orange juice. Sure.
Like kind of like a screwdriver vibe.
But this is perfect for mixing.
So you've tried it.
100%.
Now let's start right with the taste.
Like the actual taste?
Yeah.
I don't know what the actual taste is without anything mixed with it.
You've always had it
mixed. I've always had this bottle mixed, yeah.
Okay. Now, appearance... So,
appearance, I mean, six. Nothing special.
All right. So appearance, we have taste, and then we have price. Price, you would say it's pretty much on par.
$40, yeah. It's exactly where it should be nowadays for
and the overall mark is, what would you give it?
A 7.
Oh, so it's just run-of-the-mill kind of a tequila, I guess.
You know what? For a $40 bottle of mix, I like this bottle, and I guess it's because it's around me a bit. So I've gone to like this bottle. So
yeah. And before we throw the bottle to Johnny, would you keep this in your bar?
I have a lot of friends that drink it. I have to have it in my bar.
As a mixer, I'm not one to drink white. I don't drink white liquor. It's not my favorite unless it's grappa. But for a tequila, I won't drink this by itself. So this is a mixer for me. I do have this in my bar. I enjoy it.
What do you mix it with?
Me?
Yeah. What do you mix it with?
So... You know what? Actually, lately, a lot of people have been liking it with iced tea.
Interesting. Iced
tea? Yeah.
What?
Never tried
it's
that.
It's sweet. It was the request last time, but I like liquor with lemonade.
Yeah, that's good.
That's me. If I do any mixer, I'm a lemonade and alcohol kind
actually,
of guy.
Actually, when I was in Punta Cana, I was the pineapple juice.
Pineapple juice. Yeah, yeah.
Really? But then I had one on Saturday night. I was out with the wife and like tequila and pineapple juice, and it wasn't the same.
You got to be different. In the Caribbean, so I guess.
It's not even that. Have you ever had it slushed with slushy ice in it? Then it's absolutely delicious. Sure. And I had it lemonade.
Yeah, so I like it. It's not my favorite, guys.
So I'm give me some numbers here.
I'm not a Blanco guy. So
start with the look first, the bottle, the vibe.
Yeah, it's not Jose Cuervo standards for me. I think most of their bottles look a lot nicer than this particular bottle.
This is too refined?
This is, I mean, it's bland like the Blanco. So it's a little bland. The price point is absolutely up my alley. I think $40 for a bottle of liquor is the right price point. Yeah.
That's the flavor? But again, you had it mixed.
So it's mixed. Yeah, I'm not a Blanco guy. So
overall is?
This has got to be a 6 for me again. This is not up there for me. Yeah.
6. All right.
6 isn't bad. It's better than 5.
Sure.
6 is bad. 6 is bad. All right. So guys, now that we've done our comparisons and what we want to tell people, obviously no one's going to buy this tequila now based on your scores and what you said about it. Unless they like mixed.
No, buy the tequila. Yeah. If, as a mixed drink, I think this is great. I give this as an 8, 9.
Like as singles,
no. I don't drink Blanco single. I just won't do it.
So now if people had to find you and discuss your opinions on it.
Yeah, if you want to have controversy against this bottle, you can message us on YouTube. You can find us on the couch at onthecouch23. You can find us on Instagram at the couch. On the couch, sorry, at the couch. On the couch podcast. It's been a long day.
23.
You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You can find us at Your Nesta Financial on Instagram. Danny.
Right here in Bolton.
At 12 Par Boulevard. Yep. And you can find us on our next episode too, guys. Stay tuned and please like, share.
And comment.
So what did we say? Share the show so we can grow.
Yeah.
Share the show so we can grow.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
See ya.